Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in. After multiple weeks of being closed, Juneau's recycling center is back up and running at limited capacity. Denise Koch, the city's director of engineering and public works, says the center will begin accepting only cardboard and mixed paper, and only from this Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. The center is still not accepting any other recyclables.
We know that recycling is an important service for people, and we know it's been really inconvenient for people to hang on to their recycling.
The city contracts with Waste Management to operate its recycling program in Lemon Creek. Waste Management is the private company that runs Juneau's only landfill, which is estimated to run out of space in the next decade. The partial reopening comes after the center has been closed off and on since late December, after Juneau was hit with back-to-back record-breaking snowstorms, which inundated it with a backlog of material to process. Since late January, the city has been asking residents to hold on to their recyclable materials while it fixed multiple issues with the recycling baler, which is the most critical piece of equipment for the center to operate. The baler is the machine that compresses the recyclables into blocks, which are then shipped by barge to recycling facilities in Seattle that repurpose the materials. Koch says while the baler has since been fixed, the city is opening the center up at a limited capacity so that the machine doesn't get overloaded. She says the center's staff will then decide further openings depending on how the baler performs this weekend.
Well, we are, of course, hoping to be able to do that as soon as possible. We are planning to make another announcement on Monday after we see how things go on Friday and Saturday and how quickly we're able to move through material.
Again, the recycling center will be open this Friday and Saturday from 9 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. and will be accepting only cardboard and mixed paper. This is KTOO. Good afternoon. This is KTOO, and I'm Clarice Larson. Thank you so much for tuning in with us. In Juneau, U.S. Senator Dan Sullivan bristled at the suggestion that he only defends the Trump administration. In his annual address to the Alaska legislature yesterday, he also slammed National Democrats as bent on ruining Alaska.
Now, I'm not being partisan here. These are just the facts, and Alaskans should know who wants to help us and who wants to hurt us.
As in past years, he blamed the Biden administration for trying to shut down Alaska. But he says under President Trump, Alaska is in the midst of a comeback, with renewed emphasis on military expansion, resource development, Coast Guard icebreakers, and a new rural health care fund.
Our state will receive from this fund approximately $1.4 billion over the next 5 years to transform our health care system.
Still, as he describes it, Democrats are targeting Alaska. Sullivan referred to the U.S. Senate's top Democrat, Chuck Schumer, at least 9 times. He spoke for about 50 minutes and took questions from at least half a dozen lawmakers and then from reporters at the Capitol. Sullivan doesn't often take challenging questions in public, so his yearly address to the legislature is closely watched, especially now that he's running for re-election, aimed to serve his third 6-year term. Anchorage Senator Forrest Dunbar, a Democrat, appeared to get under his skin. Dunbar contrasted Sullivan's negative take on Biden with his positive stance on Trump and asked how far his loyalty goes.
You've said yes to Trump many times. I'm wondering if you're willing to say no.
Sullivan said he isn't afraid to go after officials when they deserve it, sometimes publicly.
All right, you want to put out a tweet smashing them on certain issues or criticizing them? Sometimes that works, but sometimes if you want results, that's not always the best way to get results.
Representative Ashley Carrick, a Fairbanks Democrat, said the tone of Sullivan's speech was jarring in the House chamber.
His hyperpartisanship really showed in the speech today, and it does present a sharp departure from Alaska's bipartisan coalition governance and the spirit of Alaskans to not affiliate with parties as often as not.
Senator Lisa Murkowski is scheduled to address the legislature late next month. And immigration enforcement agents swarmed a Soldotna home Tuesday morning and took a family of four, including a kindergartner, into custody. Sonia Arriaga moved to Alaska from Mexico in 2023. Alexander Sanchez Ramos is her husband. He's a U.S. citizen who was born in Seward. He says agents arrived in about 5 vehicles and pulled her from her car when she returned from driving her middle child to school.
I'm not talking about nicely either. I'm talking about aggressively grabbing her and pulling her out. You know, she's still in her pajamas, for crying out loud.
He said masked agents placed him in handcuffs as he stood outside wearing gym shorts and sandals. Arriaga and her three sons, age 5, 16, and 18, were eventually taken to Anchorage. Sanchez Ramos said the oldest son was put in jail while the younger sons and their moms were detained in a hotel. The story of their arrest reached a group of church leaders in Anchorage. Michael Burke is a senior pastor at St. Mary's Episcopal Church. At a news conference, he said the case raises grave moral concerns.
How could anyone possibly claim to support family values when they are willing to stand by and be silent when a 5-year-old is taken into detention?
Sanchez Ramos says Arriaga was in the country legally and was seeking asylum based on threats of violence in her home state of Jalisco, Mexico. She says they met at a Mexican restaurant when they were both working and married earlier this month, he said. Immigration and Customs Enforcement has not yet responded to an emailed query about the case. And a 17th candidate has announced she's running for governor. Mita DeWitt is a traditional healer, drawing on her Tlingit heritage. She teaches at the University of Alaska. She's running as an independent candidate, unaffiliated with any party.
I care about our future, and I care about the way that we steward our lands, and want to see a state that has a thriving ecosystem and healthy communities that can live in perpetuity.
In 2021, DeWitt chaired a campaign to recall Governor Mike Dunleavy. The petition gathered more than 60,000 signatures, but fell short of the numbers needed for a recall election. Her campaign website listed a wide array of priorities, from cost of living to health care to the state economy. DeWitt lives in Anchorage and has family roots in Wrangell and Yakutat, as well as relatives from around the state. The August 18th primary will feature a long list of gubernatorial candidates, most running with Republican label. In the primary, voters can choose just one. The top four candidates of any party will advance to the November ballot. General election voters will have the option of ranking up to four candidates. And if you've noticed that you're paying more for a cup of coffee these days, you're not alone. Bean prices have been extremely volatile in recent years. Then came President Trump's sweeping reciprocal tariffs, which the White House removed on some agricultural products, including coffee, in November. But as Alaska Public Media's Ava White reports, those tariff expenses are still impacting local roasters.
When you step in Zoe Ash's garage in Palmer, you're hit with the smell of coffee. Bags of it are everywhere and come from all over the world.
So this is the Guatemala. I love that they're like little bags because I can move them myself. This is like Sumatra. So.
Ash owns Farm Loop Coffee. What started as a hobby about 5 years ago quickly grew to selling roasted beans at farmers markets and wholesale to eateries around the state. The company specializes in small batch, light, and medium roasts and prides itself on carrying a variety of single origin coffees. That Guatemalan coffee Ash was just talking about was delivered earlier this month. The price is up 30% since 2024, and this latest order had an extra 45 cent per pound tariff on top of that.
I'm still just in the aftermath of kind of keeping this whole thing alive after increases and the tariffs. We're going to keep seeing the effects of tariffs.
Alaskans love coffee, so much so that Anchorage has one of the highest concentrations of coffee shops per capita in the nation. The United States imports a mind-boggling amount of coffee, about $9 billion worth in 2024, but only produces about 1% of it. Damage to harvest spurred by human-caused climate change in top-producing countries, blended with President Trump's sweeping reciprocal tariff policies, have resulted in significantly higher prices for local roasters like Ash.
It kind of was like a double whammy in a way.
And it's not just small roasters getting caught in the grind. Jonathan White owns Steam Dot, which has two cafes in Anchorage and sells wholesale to many local businesses and retail chains, including Costco and Walmart.
We'll be licking our wounds for a while. It's going to be several months, maybe years, before we're able to find an equilibrium from the losses we incurred in a half a year.
White's business orders months in advance. He says tariffs, especially on Brazilian coffee, were an unexpected bomb that went off in the industry.
I would say that almost every espresso blend at every coffee shop in America has Brazil in it, for a reason.
Steam Dot raised wholesale prices twice in the last year for a combined 11% due to rising costs. Even though coffee tariffs are gone, White says the impact on prices will linger for months. The company is currently working through beans ordered last summer.
the amount of tariffed coffee that still exists in the world is quite high. So brokers, people who sell green coffee, want to get rid of that first before they start selling non-tariffed coffee. High coffee prices at the grocery store and at your local drive-thru probably aren't going down anytime soon.
Alaskans already sip some of the most expensive coffee in the nation. The average price of a latte costs over $6. Roasters are just one example of businesses in the state still struggling under Trump's tariffs, says Greg Wolf, president and CEO of the Alaska International Business Center. He says the tariff turmoil has left businesses in a haze of uncertainty.
Certainty matters because sometimes you're investing thousands, millions, billions of dollars, and you need some level of certainty, some level of predictability. In the absence of that, it's chaos.
In Wolf's 40 years in the industry, he says he hasn't seen tariffs being used like they are today as an instrument in geopolitical and foreign policy issues. He says it's a difficult time for businesses and experts like himself.
None of us have been in the situation where the tariff policy seems to be the tool of choice.
Reporting from Reuters says industry experts expect a coffee production surplus this year. That and the removal of tariffs will eventually cool bean prices, but it'll take a while. In Anchorage, I'm Ava White.
And a quick look at weather this afternoon. If you're a skier, you might be in luck because it's snowing right now with a temperature of 25 degrees. Tonight, the high is 28 degrees with a low of 24 degrees. And tomorrow, snow showers are likely mainly before noon with a high near 29 degrees and northeast winds of 15 to 20 miles per hour. Friday night will be mostly cloudy with a low of 19. Saturday and Sunday will be sunny with a high near 21 degrees. This is KTOL. Thank you so much for tuning in.